preach this morning. A little while ago, I realized it was Father's Day, and I am not a father. Don't have any announcements to make this morning, as far as that goes. But this is something that God has been working on in my heart for the past couple of months. As you can probably see on the screen already this morning, I want to talk about worry and what God's Word has to say about it. Before we jump into the scriptures this morning, I want to tell you a quick story about worry. Legend has it that there was a man who worked for a railroad, and one day as he went to the freezer compartment to do his routine work, the door accidentally closed behind him, and he found himself trapped in the compartment. He shouted for help, but no one heard him, as it was past midnight. He tried breaking down the door, but being a railroad car, couldn't break it down. As he lay in the freezer compartment, he began to feel colder and colder, and feel weaker and weaker. And he wrote on the wall of the compartment, "I'm feeling colder and colder. I'm getting weaker and weaker. I'm dying, and these may be my last words." In the morning, the other workers opened the compartment, and they found him dead. The sad twist to the story above is that the freezer apparatus in the compartment had broken down a few days earlier. The poor worker didn't know about the damaged freezer apparatus. And in his mind, the apparatus was working perfectly. He felt colder and colder, got weaker, and literally worried himself to death. I don't know if that story is true, but it kind of illustrates how bad worry can get. And this morning, I want to look at some things that we worry about and how we can address them through God's Word. What are some things we worry about? Money, the future, our health, the government, and much more. Let's open. I have a lot of the scriptures up on the screen this morning, as we'll be going to many different of them, so you can follow along there. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." Don't worry about anything, but with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's so easy in the middle of a trial to think, "Oh, I'm just going to pray, I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray. I'm going to give this over to God." But this verse has an interesting addition to that. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Paul says, as you go to God, as you bring your worries, your concerns to God, don't just do it and pray, but thank God. Thank Him for what He's already done for you. Thank Him for what He's going to do for you as you bring those requests to Him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. My best man at my wedding, I think 2 or 3 days after my wedding, lost his father to cancer a year. Many years he battled cancer, missionary in Canada, faithful servant of the Lord, but as I worked with his son, my best man up at camp during the summer, I would ask him how he was doing. How are you doing with your dad's passing? He was away from his dad, and as he knew that was coming, and he said, "Jacob, I have a peace, and I don't understand why, because I know my dad's going to be in heaven." And that's exactly what this verse is talking about. In the midst of trials, in the midst of things that we're tempted to worry about, we have a peace in God if we're giving those things over to God that God will give us. And no, we won't be able to understand it because in our minds we think we should be worrying about this right now. And this should be heavy on our hearts. But that peace that God brings is incredible. The second verse I want to look at this morning is a verse that I had to memorize as early as probably preschool in church, and I didn't really fully grasp that the idea of it until I got older. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxiety, all your cares on Him, because He cares for you. And I'm privileged to have my father here this morning to celebrate Father's Day with him. And me and Dad were out on the boat the other day, and I got a perfect illustration for this verse. When we cast all of our anxieties on the Lord, that should be a casting to leave them. So often we leave our fishing pole attached to them so we can reel them back in. And maybe God doesn't answer them right away. And we say, "Well, God didn't answer that, so I'm going to pull that back in. I'm going to take some time to worry about it." Well, as me and Dad went out on the boat, I haven't been fishing in probably 2, 3, 4 years. And I was excited. I was excited. Maybe I'm going to catch a fish. I don't know how many of you enjoy fishing, but I was excited. We had the river all to ourselves, and first cast out, I caught nothing. I said, oh, okay, let's keep fishing. And second or third cast, I hooked on a big one, a big rock on the bottom of the lake, and lost my lure. And as I retied my fishing lure on, I learned a lesson later that day of how to tie a fisherman's knot, because I did not tie the correct knot. And a few casts later, I cast, and the lure just kept going. And I said, wow, that's going really far. I haven't cast that far yet today. And I realized it just kept going and going because it had come untied. And it was now at the bottom of the lake, or the river. And I was never getting that lure back. But this is kind of what this verse is talking about. Casting so that we can't bring it back in. Unfortunately, I lost the lure that day. But as we cast our worries, our anxieties on the Lord, we need to lose them. We need to give them over to Him so that we can't pull them back in. And we can't worry about them. So the second part of this verse, because He cares for you, is illustrated by this verse here. In Luke 12, 6 through 7, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why even He numbered the hairs, why even the hairs on your head are numbered, fear not, you are more valued than many sparrows. I don't know if we have any bird watchers or bird lovers here this morning, but sparrows, they're pretty populous birds, they're pretty common birds, and I mean, I see roadkill all the time and different things, and these birds, they don't last that long. But this verse says that not one of them is forgotten before God. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. God cares so much about us. I want to see from this verse that God does care so much for us. In the middle of this verse, it says, why even the hairs on your head are all numbered. And some of us this morning, it's getting a little easier to count the amount of hairs on our head. But God, from the time we're born, knows us so well. Even the number of hairs on our head are all numbered. Scientists estimate that the average human has 100,000 hairs on their head. And we lose about 50 to 100 every day. Some of us losing some more quickly than others. But God knows exactly how many hairs are on our head. God cares so, so much about us, as we see in the last part of this verse. The other day, me and Nikki were sitting in our closet. I was straightening up my mess of clothes. And I was sitting there, and we have a window in our closet, and the shade is normally always pulled. And it was open that day because I was enjoying the beautiful weather we've been having. And Nikki came up, and she was looking for me, and we sat and talked for a little bit. And I looked, she looked over my shoulder, and through her back hair, there was a deer that was running by. And this was neat because Nikki is from middle of absolutely nowhere, Pennsylvania, where deer are more populous than humans, I think. And they're all over the place. And that was something that she was missing. And so it was so neat to see the deer run through her backyard. And that may not seem like a big deal, but I do believe that's God. He just cares for us. And those little things that He brings across our path to show us how much He cares for us. And so we looked at what God's word has to say about worry, but why is it so bad to worry? We think, well, I didn't murder anybody. I didn't rob a bank. I didn't do all these terrible, wicked things that we think of. But worry is a sin. God tells us, be anxious for nothing. And as I began my study, I looked up the definition for worry. And here's what Mr. Webster had to say. To give way to anxiety or unease, to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. And Mr. Webster's got a pretty good handle on giving definitions, but I want to give this from a Christian perspective, and I thought about it for a little bit, and I changed the definition around a little bit. When concern for something dominates my life so much, I stop trusting God. When we think of sin, worry often does not come up as something that's really bad. It is something that will slowly hinder our relationship with God. It will break that relationship with God. Worry is denying who God really is. And we've already talked about how caring, how personal our God is. But let's look at a few more things of who God is. And these are just a few things. On God rest my salvation, my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times. O people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. My salvation, my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge. God is a refuge for us. This next verse, Psalms 147. If you want to really get to know God's attributes, I suggest reading through Psalms. And you got a few chapters to go there, about 150 to be exact. But as you go through, create a biography of God and write down his attributes as you go through. And you will get to know your God so much better. Psalms 147:5. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Abundant in power. When we go through a trial, when there's something that comes up that could worry us, we come to church and we hear what pastor has to say about God, and our friends try to encourage us. But until we go and personally spend time getting to know who God is, and I love this next verse, Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. About a year and a half ago, I think I've mentioned it before, I got to go to Brazil on a mission trip. We were helping out a camp down there. I left winter in the mountains in North Carolina, and I got to go to summer in Brazil. And as we were helping out with the camp, mealtime was, I enjoy eating, but camp food is, it's camp food. And I worked at camp for 4 summers, night camp food, and I was a cook for one of those summers. It wasn't terrible food, but it was camp food. And so we were eating mostly rice and beans and some salads and things like that. And about halfway through the week, the camp director told us he was going to take us out to eat. And I said, awesome, this is perfect. And he told us we're going to go to a churrascaria. I said, awesome, I have no idea what that is. And he explained it's a Brazilian steakhouse. I said, oh, now I'm listening. And I've been to an American steakhouse. Go in, I ordered my meat, I enjoyed my steak, and I left. And so I had my expectation. My expectation was it was set. And we went into the restaurant. We drove through downtown Sao Paulo. And if you think Burlington traffic and Burlington driver are terrible, go visit Brazil, where they don't have any rules of the road, and they never use their blinkers. And you will appreciate Burlington drivers. So we made it to the restaurant, and as I was walking to my table, I saw a lot of meat, and so I said, okay, we're on the right track. We're going to eat some meat tonight. And then I sat down, and they started explaining exactly how this was going to work. And I don't know if any of you have been to a Brazilian steakhouse, but the wait staff would come out about every 2 to 3 minutes with a massive skewer with a cut of meat that had been sitting on the grill all day. And they would come to your plate, and they would cut off as much as you wanted of this type of meat until you said no more. So it ranged from juicy, delicious steaks. Now, I debated whether or not to use this illustration in this message because I'm sure everybody has a delicious lunch prepared. But I was going to go ahead and use it. And juicy, succulent steaks and all the way down to chicken heart. And probably 20 different types of meat they brought out, and I was loving it. I hadn't eaten that much at camp, so I was getting my fill, and I was enjoying life. And there was this little sign in front of me on the table. It said yes and no, in Portuguese, obviously, but I don't remember the words. Yes and no, and that was to stop the wait staff from giving me more food. And I never wanted to reach up and turn that around and say, no, I don't want any more food, because it was so, so good. Now, when I walked into the restaurant that afternoon, I could have looked around at everybody's plate of food and said, wow, that looks so good, and then sat down at the table and said, I'm in the mood for seafood tonight. I'm not going to eat anything. It would have been silly of me, and everybody would have thought I was crazy. But that's how this verse is. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When we're tasting and seeing God is so good, we're going to want more and more of what God is. Instead of just listening, obviously we need to be in church, but listening to what? Go taste and see that the Lord is good. Go enjoy God's goodness for yourself. And you're going to want to keep going back for more. You're not going to want to turn that sign on the table around and say, yeah, I'm all done. I've had my full. No. You're going to want to keep learning more about God, and especially in the midst of a trial, especially when something's come up that we're worrying about. You need to be in your Bible and tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. I don't know what's causing you to worry this morning, but just a few verses in Psalms this morning, we've seen the amazing power of God. Why do we even want to worry about our problems? Why do we even want to reel back in our problems? when God is so amazing and God can take care of all of them. And we looked at what God has to say about worry, and we looked at why worry is so bad. I want to look at a couple specific areas this morning and how to combat those areas for you. Maybe these are areas that you're struggling with. I know there are areas that I've struggled with in the past, but I want to address that. How about worrying about the future? What's going on in the future? I know before I got married, my wife is in here this morning. I thought she was going to be in nursery, and so I was going to be able to use this illustration and her not be able to hear it. But before I got married, there was a few weeks before I sat down and I said, wow, I'm getting married. That's pretty big. That's a huge life change. And I was excited, but there was a nervous. This is a lifetime decision. I'm stuck with this girl for the rest of my life. And praise the Lord, I am. She keeps me in line. But I was nervous. I was concerned for the future. What if I lose my job? How am I going to provide for her? You know, where is God going to have us in ministry? And God took care of all those. And obviously, I didn't get nervous enough to get cold feet. And we got married. But this verse, this couple of verses right here, a little bit longer of a passage, Psalms 139, 1 through 6. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I think God knows our future. Talks about in this verse him knowing the words before we even speak them. He knew exactly what I was going to say this morning. He knows exactly what my conversation is going to be over lunch. You think God knows exactly what's happening in our future? So often we dwell on the what ifs of life. What if I lose my job? What if I'm diagnosed with a terrible disease? What if my children don't turn out perfectly? What if I don't ever get married? These what ifs, we live and we dwell on these so much. Why do we dwell on these? And we just saw in this passage that we know God exactly knows what the future holds. We can trust in him for this. This next thing that I want to talk about, worrying about finances. And this is something God really had to work on me, and really where I started in my study of this. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. At the end of March, as many of you know, my boss told me that it wasn't working out. I was in a paid apprenticeship. It was very nice of him to offer this to me. And I was learning, but not quite at the pace that he wanted me to. And he decided that he wasn't getting enough return on his investment in me and told me that I had worked my last day. I had zero leads for a job. I had no idea what I was going to do next. And I hung up the phone after he told me and kind of just sat down and said, oh no, what do I do now? I married this girl, back to my previous worry before marriage, and I promised I would provide for her. I promised I would do whatever it takes. And now I don't have a job. What am I going to do? And this is where God really broke me and really brought me back to this verse time and time over. And you can ask Nikki. I was anything but perfect. I was far from it. I worried all the time. But God did a work in my life through this verse. For 2.5 months, I would have to come back to this verse over and over. My God will supply every need according to his riches. His riches don't have an end. So often our bank accounts, they get low and we're out of money. God doesn't have a bank account. His riches are without end. He will supply. And I watched God supply in some amazing ways, whether that was through a tax refund or friends and family just saying, hey, I know you lost your job. Here you go. I just wanted to help you out. And God provided in some amazing ways. And I came out on the other side, and God provided an amazing job that I have now. And I watched him. And was it easy? Did I love going through those 2.5 months where I not sure what was going to happen next? No. But I learned so much about my God through that time and how much his promises are always true. And it was neat. This last one this morning I want to talk about. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. I want to talk about worrying about people. So often our fear of people gets in the way of telling them about our amazing Lord. We already talked about how amazing God is this morning. This verse says, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. God has called us to tell others about him. And so often, I very much struggle with this. I love my job now because I have an opportunity to not only work with kids in a summer camp, but I also have unsafe coworkers I have an opportunity to witness to. And so often there's that, we're so easy at making excuses. Well, I can't really witness them right now. There's kids, there's that kid running over there. I gotta go catch up with him. And, maybe they're not ready to hear. Maybe I need to be a little more of a testimony before I tell them the gospel. And so often we worry, what are they gonna say to me? What are they gonna think when they find out I'm a Christian? Are they gonna hate me? Are they gonna hit me? They're gonna kill me. Well, you go to heaven if they do that, and you'll be with Jesus. And so we don't need to worry about those things. What if they ask me a question I don't have an answer to? I got the privilege to counsel for 3 summers at summer camp, and the kids that came through asked me some of the questions that I was just like, I've grown up in church my whole life, and I said, I have no idea. I don't even know the answer to that question. And they looked at me and they said, well, you're a counselor. You're supposed to know the answers to all of them. I said, I don't. And that's where you can invite them to church and say, I have a pastor who'd love to sit down with you, and maybe he'd have the answer to that question. And you've killed 2 birds with 1 stone. You get them in church and you get their question answered. And we worry ourselves right out of all of these witnessing opportunities. There's so many people that need the gospel, need the Lord. And this verse commands us, only fear the Lord. Don't fear man. Don't fear what man has to say. Serve the Lord faithfully with all your heart. Why? For consider what great things he has done for you. And those great things start with salvation. Right at the beginning of your new life in Christ, God saved you from all your sins. And God continues to do great things in our lives. So I hope this has been a help to you this morning. I know it has been a help to me over the last couple months as I've looked through these verses and learn more about our God and who he is and what he's done in our life. So let's close in prayer. God, thanks so much for this day. Thanks for your word. Thanks for who you are. Thank you for just the amazing opportunity we have to learn more about you. And grow closer to you, Lord. I pray that we would not worry, that we would depend on you for everything, whether that's the future, our health, finances, government. Lord, I pray that we'd be a light in this community, that we would be inviting people out to church, that we'd be telling others about you. Lord, thank you for all that you're going to do. We're excited to see you work in your name. Amen.
Amen. It's kind of almost illogical to tell somebody, just lost their job or is just been told they have cancer, to tell them, don't worry. Don't worry about that at all. It almost seems that's ludicrous. Unless there is a God who's in control of all things, who loves us and cares for us, then suddenly it's not quite so logical. Trusting God and worry are opposites as much as dark and light are. And we've got to be trusting the Lord. Now this morning, great job, Jacob, appreciate that. But this morning we're going to get out a little bit early, but I just want to let you know, don't worry. Next week we will not get out this early, all right? Well, very good. Well, thank you for coming this morning, and it's been a blessing. I hope you have a great week. You are dismissed.